Hey, Scott, let's talk about the Petzl now. Did you notice the wrap? Yeah, we're recording. Did you notice the wrapper that comes in there? It doubles essentially as ultraviolet ray protection for nighttime wearing for your Petzl now because it has 575 lumen.
575 lumen is freaking bright.
You need some eye protection. Do not look at another runner right in the eye without your shield on that comes within the packaging.
So the new now, that's kind of fun to say, the new now, is different than the old now.
Right.
It has more lumen.
It wouldn't be new otherwise, Scott.
The battery is the same size, but battery technology, rechargeable battery technology has improved, and the battery actually lasts longer than the old now. So you get longer battery life, you get more lumen. Why wouldn't you buy a now?
Scott, we had the chance to go to Hard Rock last year, and who did we see wearing the Petzl now?
Killian.
He was wearing it. Yeah, Adam Campbell. Everybody up front was wearing it.
Adam Campbell saved his life.
You too, with a lightning strike, right?
Yeah.
Hit the now and saved him. So you too can run up front, but you can't do it without the right type of lighting.
You could probably even see Killian up ahead of you with a now, even if you're in the back of the pack.
Do you think you could see a now from a satellite view?
I think you very well could.
Go to Petzl.com or go to Trail Runner Nation. Go to our partners page and link over and you can see the now.
Harry's.com. We've been talking about them for a while. We use them
every morning.
I believe it's the best blade I have ever used in my life.
It's comfortable. It comes with some great, what's that? The gel and some cream. Now you are living.
I love the aftershave.
I bought the big bottle.
I did too.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
But the blades, that's where the key is, the blades. Now, I've been using cheap disposable razors for the last 15, 20 years.
Why treat yourself that way,
Scott?
That
was okay. And then I tried a blade from the Harry's razor, and it was unbelievable.
What's unbelievable is really the good, great deal. And I've told just some friends that I know, I do this and use the TRN discount code. Yeah. You get $5 off, and literally the normal price is what, $15, and it drops down to
$15 for the Truman. That's the handle, some razors, some shaving cream. It's everything. $10, you can't beat that.
Yeah, $5 off, $10, and they ship it to you.
That's cheaper than disposable.
That includes shipping, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it does. It does. And so you can get all that for $10. What a great gift. Father's Day's coming up.
Yep.
Treat yourself or treat your own father.
Harry's.com.
Ultra Running Magazine. Scott, did you check out the Trail Runner Nation ad in there?
In the May, June issue, it just came out. I just got mine in the mail, and I was flipping through it, and sure enough, there's our Trail Runner Nation ad.
It's Tim's ad, right?
Ninja Tim.
He put it together, but we're taking some credit for it.
That's what we do.
That's all we do, Scott. And this particular magazine's a great one. They've got some great articles in it.
They do. It's a thick one. It's a 2-month issue.
It's getting you ready for the big races coming up in the summer, so it's essential information.
There's some really great articles in there. You can go to our partners page, and you can get a $29 year subscription.
I understand that Carl and Erica, if the mail's a bit slow, will strap a pack on their back, and they are great runners, and deliver it house to house.
Commitment. That's what they're all about. Ultra Running Magazine, they are the official magazine of ultra running.
Are we recording?
Dr. Romanoff, you're probably very experienced at professional interviews. This is not one of them.
Come on. Don't put yourself down.
we are very casual. That's a good word.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning.
Well, Scott, we've had 2 weeks off, and that's what you worked up?
2 weeks? Have we been dark for 2 weeks?
We've been dark. You know, it's something that we, you know, sometimes you have to take a do a little rehab.
You do. You have to rest.
Not that either one of you or I were in rehab.
At least not that we're going to admit.
Watch the Twitter. We'll find out which institution we were in.
We had some technical difficulties on a really good podcast that we're still working on that we'll release at a later date. You're going to love it.
Oh, man.
Sally Edwards.
She turns the trail running community on its head on this podcast.
She did back in 1984, and she did again here in 2015. So it'll be great to get this one up.
Yeah.
So, Scott, let's just take some topics. You know, we've had some thoughts roaming around in our minds, and let's just knock it around the table here.
We've had enough time to knock things around in our minds.
So I see you have a notebook over there. Let's head through some of those topics and just do a good discussion.
Oh, these were my haikus that I was composing before the show. So let's kick this thing off. First topic, ultra running.
Good start.
How to understand you better. What do you learn from ultra running, and how long does it take to learn about you and running and things that happen to you? So let me give you an idea. You're kind of looking up in the air like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm just trying to figure out how many editions we're going to do on this, because, I mean, that's a terrific topic.
It is.
I just know where you're going to start. I'm very interested to see where you take us.
Let me take it very, very a simplistic point.
Well, that's a good start with me.
Hydration.
Okay.
We're all different. We all require different amounts of hydration, different amounts of electrolytes. We have different tastes in hydration.
True.
So my point is, how do you find out?
Well, I you know, like most things in life, you find out through trial and error, and usually learn most from mistakes. So I think that we all go through that very difficult learning curve of getting out there and bonking, and you seem to bonk less as you have these trials and tribulations, but you're not bonk free. I mean, it still happens. It happens to the veterans. It's like, man, that snuck up on me. And it's interesting to watch runs and races roll out so you can see if you're on top of your management.
Well, I think it's important to listen to those veterans. You know, they have a lot of experience, and they can teach you a lot. You know, Gordy Ainsley told us one time he took grape juice and mixed it with water, so it just kind of watered down some grape juice, and that's what he used for his first electrolyte.
Yeah, but Scott, everybody's different. So, you know, what Gordy might work for Gordy might be the worst thing for you.
It may be, but my point is I think the best place to start is to listen to what the veterans are doing, and then try it. Don't take that as the gospel of ultra running, that I have to use grape juice in a syrup bottle with watered down grape juice in a syrup bottle.
Sure.
Because it may work for you, it may not. But I think it's a good idea to listen to those ultra runners, to those veterans, and then go out and try it and see what works for you.
Scott, when you start out, I remember starting out and not knowing anything because I didn't link into a veteran. I just kind of went out there and started running. And Jeff and I, a friend of ours, we ran out there. And it was turning into rainy season. So the first thing we did was went into a catalog, because it was catalogs back in those days. And we found some...
Was this a Sears and Roebuck catalog?
No, it was actually a running catalog of some kind that we've got our hands on. And we went through there and looked for some running gear for rain. And we ended up with some slickers. You know, the stuff that you see the sailors wearing out on the front of the ship?
On the Deadliest Catch?
Yeah. And so we're out
there. Crab fishermen in Alaska?
We're running in those things. But they had a picture, a logo of a runner on them, so they must have been run ready. And so, yeah, we made it about halfway through that run, and we had to stash those things under a rock because we were almost dead with heat.
You know, there's a lot of pitfalls that I was the beneficiary of because of what you and Jeff tried.
Some of the trials.
So that's what I'm saying. You got to listen to people that have gone before and then find out. I remember I had a pair of running tights.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with running tights, Scott.
You know,
Killian has running tights.
If you live in the frozen tundra, maybe. But not where we live in Northern California. It never gets cold enough in Northern California to really justify wearing running tights, unless you're a lady. Ladies, they can wear running tights.
You know,
thank you very much, by the way.
Chafing. How come some people chafe in some areas and other people don't? So, like we were talking about, everybody's different. There are some people that if they don't have the bottle of Glide or Run Goo or, you know, whatever product that they're using, then that's going to be a miserable run.
It is. And other people, you know, I know people that run that have never put tape on their nipples, and they never have a problem. Myself, yeah. I got a nipple up, baby.
Well, blisters, you know, I almost don't even want to talk about them because, one, I'm fortunate enough not to get them.
Someone's at the door.
No, that's me knocking on some wood because I don't want to get them because it can happen. But you, on the other hand, have
Some things you never figure out. I still don't know. I have some strategies and tactics.
What, cutting the front of your shoe off, is that one of your strategies?
No, Eric Strand has taught us well, and that's another one that you know, you listen. Sometimes that's what you need to do is take a knife to those Hokas, baby, rip those things apart. But you know, blisters is another one. You know, there's probably been many volumes of books and articles written on blisters. And I've probably read all of them 3 or 4 times.
You have been a student of the blister.
And I still don't know why and when I get blisters. Sometimes I can have a great run. Others times, you know, I look like I'm running on big waterbeds on both feet.
So how many miles typically, if you're going to get blisters, how many miles do they present themselves with?
30.
So how did you, when you ran states, how did you get past that? I remember you seeing you at mile 62 and getting some blister.
My blister started at mile 30. At the mile 30 aid station, I felt I had blisters, so I sat down and someone, bless their heart, I wish I could remember their name. It was a long, long day that day.
Yeah.
But they knew what to do. They had a kit and they were surgical by popping off my shoes and they drained some blisters and taped them up and did a wonderful job, and that lasted me until about mile 60.
So how do you know who to trust at an aid station as you roll through?
That's a great question. Wait,
is it on the list, Scott?
No, it's not.
Let's roll with that.
I don't know. You know, we've all run into the aid station where the person there has never run the course or maybe has never run before. Mm-hmm. They're just volunteering their time, bless their hearts. And they say, hey, don't worry, the next aid station's just a mile and a half away. And it's really like 15 miles away. They have no idea.
So let me go in and throw a couple comments out there on this. So if I'm running into an aid station and I'm looking for trail cred, you know, who is this person? I think one of the first things I'm going to look for is at their shoes.
Or a belt buckle.
Well, let me work up the body here, Scott.
Oh, sorry.
It's a podcast. You just can't go to the answer. All right.
So
I take a look at their shoe to see if you know, there's any credibility. Are they wearing something that looks like has been on the trail before?
So here's a question: if you look at their shoes and they have a brand new pair of Salomon, whatever, do you trust them?
Then I go to the sock. And I'm not going to go up every part of their body here, but I'm going to look and see if they're brand new. I'm going to think, well, I might look for some tan lines. Have they been in the sun in different shoes? Have they spent time outside?
Do they have a Cocopelli on their calf?
And that would help me quite a bit. Are they wearing a shirt from some race? Because a lot of times those if you look at some of the old timers that are out there, and old timers might be however many years they've been in the sport, but they'll wear something from the back in the day to say, you know, I know a little some. Here's my 2003 50 miler shirt that I had. So that means something. And then I think when you listen to their questions, are they trying to tell you something that's just ridiculous, or are they trying to drill into what your problem is? And they're asking something about you. You know they've been on the trail by the way they ask their questions. What's going on? And getting some feedback.
I think that's a very good way to understand. You know, if it's a veteran, they'll ask you questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What are you feeling?
Right.
Where are you mentally?
Right.
Blisters. How long have they been happening? You know, let's sit down and take a look at them. You know,
you'll know real quick if you're in the hands of an expert. And so, like we do sometimes, Scott, let's take the from the trail to the real world. Do you use some of those skills, or do we have some of those same types of experiences? Can we learn something from that aid station that when you walk into a CPA, or you're walking to your doctor's office, or you're walking to some to your stereo advisor?
Measuring up your
Just listening to, you know, just using some of that experience.
So when you go into the
qualifying,
when you go into the doctor's office, you look at the certificate on the wall and find out where it's from, right?
Do you ever look at the certificates?
Never. All I look and see if there's a frame.
If
it's laminated and stuck to the wall, Get out of there.
So if he...
It could be a cheap frame, Don.
If he or she is committed enough to go to the dollar store, pick up a frame, that's good with you. But if they just take a thumbtack and and they stick a thing right in the wall, that's not enough.
Where's your... Do you have your certificate on the wall?
I have a frame.
Do you have a frame?
Yeah.
See? It qualifies, doesn't it?
It's gone.
I trust you.
It's gone a long ways. No.
How much did that frame cost you, Don?
You know what?
Did it come with a degree?
I wanted to tell you how much my degree cost.
Don't you think that a degree should come with a frame? The piece of paper should come in a frame.
Well, originally they came in with a sheepskin.
What?
Sheepskin. You know, that's the thing when you graduated from the great universities in history, they gave you a sheepskin. And it was stamped some kind. I don't know if it was dyed into it or
you went to a different school than I went.
I'm going
to
look up sheepskin, Scott, because I think they didn't need a frame with sheepskin. He just proudly displayed it on the wall.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And after they became paper, then they had to cover them up somehow to protect them.
Okay.
How does this relate to aid station management?
Well, I mean, we've kind of gone from trying to understand yourself to aid stations. So,
you know, I knew that part, but I really don't think it has a lot to do with becoming a better runner.
I think that's when you go out for a training run, it's not just building your cardio and your endurance. It's learning about yourself. And that's why I think that sometimes, you know, we all talk about if you're training for an ultra, you got to get out there and do some long runs. The long runs are not just to build cardio. It's to see how your body reacts to the gels you're using or the hydration drink or the socks you're wearing.
So here's my question, Scott, or my comment, something we can discuss here. When's the last time you've done something different on a training run or a run? How much are you into this groove that you're getting deeper and deeper that you're not getting out of? When's the last time you put something new, either speed or turnover or agility work, or I'm going to work on hills today, cross train, massage work, I mean, some body care. When have you really done something different?
Well, you know, I the first thing that I thought of when you said that, I thought equipment. Of course, I'm always trying new shoes.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of gear junkies. We're trying different, you know, GPS watches and stuff like that. And it all, I think the gear stuff,
yeah,
I change.
Right.
You know, there's a few things I don't. Injinji socks, I'm always wearing some Injinji socks. I know those work. I'm not going to screw with that. But I like where you were going, that you need to try something new from a training tactics point of view. You know, throw in some double hill repeats or do some, fartleks or something like that.
Keeps it fresh.
You know, one of the things that in a recent article in Ultra Running Magazine that Ellie Greenwood wrote that is a really, really good article. We need to get her on and mm-hmm. talk about that article. But she says... Sometimes we become, I'm putting words in her mouth because she didn't say this, is we become ultra running snobs.
Huh.
So when we think, you know, if I can't get out to do an hour run, I'm just not even going to bother. But she says, you know what, that 30-minute window when you drop your kids off for soccer, go out and run for 30 minutes. Make a purpose behind that 30-minute run. Maybe do some speed work or something like that, or do some running drills. Hello, what was the last time you did a running drill, Don?
Scott, we've been talking about doing that since the first topic, podcast.
Dr. Kukuzela
right.
says you should always start a run with a drill.
Yeah.
And we should listen to him.
We start our runs with a drive to the trailhead. So
we just roll out of the truck and we go the same pace, same route. You know, we need to throw something new in there. Try something new.
Yeah, and it's okay. Is it okay to go just do the same if you're happy? If it makes you happy,
absolutely.
And just roll at the same pace. You don't have to feel obligated to always swap things around. If you're super happy, then just keep doing it.
But I think that there is some truth or some motivation that comes from trying something new.
So to Ellie's point of if you have a short window, go maximize that opportunity. And I've been doing that with, because schedules have been tight, so not driving to the trailhead, just rolling out of the front door,
me too,
warming up a bit, and then just, you know, doing some turnover on the road. I said road, Scott. Turnover on some road around and doing a quick
you know,
run.
You know, when I first started running and training for my first ultra, during the week, all of those runs were done on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only time I really got to the trails was on the Saturday. And then maybe I became a little bit of a running snob and started getting up earlier and going out to the trail. In fact, there were years where I never ran on pavement.
Scott, how does it make you a running snob to just go out to the trail?
An ultra running snob, okay. A trail running snob is what I'm saying. I mean, there's a point where, you know, I was proud that I never ran on pavement,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's snobbery.
That's the snobbery.
I think there is
a one-upsman.
It is. I've actually found that I'm in the same boat as you, where I'll roll out of bed and I have a new puppy, 6-month-old lab, mm-hmm. and you know it's tough to take her out to the trail, so I just grab a leash and we go out for a short little jaunt on the pavement. Okay, so try something new. Mm-hmm. This is a related topic that I would like to do more of, and that is seek for an adventure. So try it's along the same lines as try something new. Go to a different trail
mm-hmm.
that you've never run before. There's one that I've wanted to try for a long time, the Lake Clementine mm-hmm. Trail. Have you run that?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, you bet. I'll go on. That's a great trail.
Yeah, I've never tried that, and it's just I guess part of it is when I'm going out for a training run, I have a very specific time window
mm-hmm.
that I need to be back, and so it's tough to try something new. And maybe that's just something I need to do more on the weekends when the time is a little more open-ended.
Right. You say try something new. I like the go to the Grand Canyon or go to some, mountain or hill that's in your area that's iconic
mm-hmm.
that can make for a great adventure. Grab your running crew and get out there and do it. Make a fun weekend out of it. And that's we set races as destinations, but why can't we set adventures as destinations?
You know something I have never tried, and I'm a little ashamed to say this, but I've never done a fat ass race. Have you ever done one?
Mm-hmm.
You have? You've been around the block once or twice, haven't you?
Well, only because there's good people around me that drag me into things, and so.
Oh, that's right. You've done the Mount Diablo.
Yeah,
fat-ass
that group,
run.
Those guys. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
they have a lot of fun.
I think that I need to do one of those.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find out about fat ass runs, Don? Are they on Ultra Running Sign Up?
No.
Ultra Sign Up?
No, I don't think so. They might be. That's interesting. I think those guys over there might have a
If you're listening to this podcast,
Mark Gilligan.
Tell us how to find a fat ass run. Do you know what should we define what a fat ass run is? I just like saying it.
Okay.
Fat ass.
Well, define it, Scott, for those that may not know.
Well, I may not know myself, but a fat ass run is an organized run/race that is not an organized race. It's not, you don't pay necessarily. You show up. James Barstead, a local runner around here, does a lot of fat ass races where he does training runs for the Way Too Cool 50K or the Western States. He does a night run for Western States. It's a mm-hmm. fat-ass run. You show up. It's kind of like a, what do you call it?
Let me read this to you, Scott. No fees, no awards, no aid, no wimps. This is coming from trailandultrarunning.com on fat-ass runs.
Okay, there you go. Thanks for defining that.
This is the motto that fat-ass events have acquired over the many years runners have been partaking in them. I'm willing to guess that many of you never knew such well-known, well-attended races such as Western States, Leadville, Vermont 50 started as fat-ass style events.
You know what I was about to do? I was about to Google fat-ass, and then I thought, you know what? I probably shouldn't because there's going to be some sites that come up I shouldn't be looking at.
Well, certainly if it's your work computer, you should not. That could make for a interesting conversation.
But I think that's a great idea to get out there. If there isn't a fat ass run out there, make one.
Sure, you can do that.
There's no certifications that say that you need to go to school to organize a fat ass run.
Well, I think the Ragnar. What do you think of the Ragnar?
I don't think you want me to answer that.
No, I do.
Do Ragnar people listen to this podcast?
Yes, some do.
You know, I think it's a brilliant business plan.
Mm-hmm.
I ran a Ragnar probably 3 or 4 years ago, And it was fun because I was with a lot of really cool, fun people. That part I really, really liked.
Getting on the right team is important.
It was.
And so
it
was, this was... Let's define Ragnar for those, maybe a couple, a short, quick definition of what the event
is. What is a Ragnar? A Ragnar is a long race. The one that I ran was like 250 miles. You do it with a team that is split into two groups. And typically they ride around in these big 12-passenger vans. My team that I drove around with had six of us. So the team was 12.
It's a relay.
It is.
For 250 miles. Let me shorten this up a bit. It's a relay, and you each run about a six-mile leg, and you exchange, and it's a constant run until you hit the end.
Yeah, and so you exactly. And the legs are different sizes. I think the longest was like 8 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But you are assigned on your 12-person team, there may be 30 legs or so. And so you have to do two or three of those legs.
A different kind of challenge.
Yeah.
Right?
So the whole idea I absolutely loved. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. It was fun to be with those people. You end up sleeping, you know, in a sleeping bag on a lawn. And anyway, it's a lot of fun. The thing that I did not care for.
So it's sleeping on a lawn on a sleeping bag was one of the highlights of your Ragnar experience?
I slept for like 3 hours.
Okay.
The thing that I don't care for, I felt that the community of people was not nice. You know, I would try to talk to people as I'm running next to them or by them, or they were running by me, and it seemed like they were not conversational. The other part that I really did not like is the crassness. People decorate their vans,
mm-hmm.
and it would be fun if it was decorated appropriately, but this is my personal opinion. I thought that most of them were very, very off color and offensive. And you're driving through towns. Mm. One of the transfer points was an elementary school, and there were people with just really inappropriate things on their vans. The other thing, there are three things I didn't like.
Mm.
The other thing that I didn't appreciate, and this, I guess, goes against my opinion of what trail running and ultra running is most of the vans had kill tallies on their van. So if you're running your leg and you passed someone, that is called a kill.
Mm.
And so when your leg was finished, you say, I killed three people. And I thought that was just, that goes against my running
ethos.
Morals,
yeah. You know,
I will never run one again, Don.
I watched an event. I was in traffic, and I'm supportive of running, of all sporting events that have us change our path for traffic. You know, traffic issues, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's good. We need to be able to access our planet and get out there and do that stuff. But my goodness, it was quite a delay because of, and it felt like it was selfish of these runners. You know, we try not to be, you know, as runners, we don't want to disrupt other people's schedules. But my goodness, these guys had their own parade going. I'll tell you, it had a different feel to it.
Well, they're hugely popular in the United States, hugely popular. They're making a lot of money on these Ragnar events. Mm-hmm. I think the event that I did ran through, it was beautiful. It ran through the Napa-Sonoma wine country,
mm-hmm.
and it was absolutely gorgeous along the roads there. And there had to be 400 or 500, if not 1,000 people participating in this thing.
So I'll give you some contrast.
I'm talking teams, not people. So
right.
there was like 500 teams
oh, wow.
of 12 people.
Oh, man. That's a large group.
Yeah, and they're all paying big, big bucks to get in
to there. Get a map. They get a map. It's essentially what they get.
Yeah.
So I was, I'm going to make this in contrast to the Ragnar and that running event, because I consider us running community and running people, but I was out in the middle of kind of nowhere, and there was a bike race, an endurance race. I mean, they're out there for a 300-mile race, something like that. It was one of the real long endurance rides. And as one of the gals were coming by, I said, you know, how long, what is this event? And I just watched their determination and you know, the things that we say, mm-hmm. good job. Just, I had that, I had a kinship to this, and I wanted to get on a bike. I wanted to do that. I had a lot in common with that person, but I didn't have a lot in common with the people running the Ragnar and all their costumes and the things that they're doing out there. And I thought, man, it may be the event more than, I mean, the person more than the event that I was attracted to there. You know, I felt a kinship to the to the endurance rider.
Well, I don't think that the Ragnar as a group necessarily promotes the type of things that my three problems I listed. I don't think that they promote that. I think that it's, you know, anybody can really go and get on a team and join the Ragnar. You know, someone that has not been humbled or softened by a long run. And anyway, there's other things I'd like to do. It was fun, and I was glad I did it. But I probably will never do one again.
I think overall has a positive impact of bringing people together as a community and get some running, introduces running to a lot of people. And so I think it's, and for that respect, it's good.
I would be interested to know if there's any trail or ultra running Ragnars where maybe the legs are, you know, 30K or 20K and they're on trails. We should do some research there. If anybody's listening to this and knows of any,
you're putting people to
trail
work.
Trail and ultra. It's a second Ragnars.
Second thing you've asked people to do.
I found that we need to assign homework on.
All right. What else do you have on your list, Scott?
Let's talk about walking.
All right.
You know, we always say that we're trail runners, mm-hmm. But if you've ever gone on a trail run or participated in a trail or ultra race, you know that there's walking involved. How much walking, I guess, is the point. How much walking should you do? How much walking can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you train for walking?
Okay, let me throw a couple things out there. In the very beginning, we talked about grab a mentor, right? Mm-hmm. And learn.
Yep.
And I remember doing that and my questions. Hey, Dana, do we walk this thing? Julie, do you walk this thing during states? Do you run this? I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was just, whatever their answer was what I figured is what you do. Because mm-hmm. I was clueless. And when I learned that you're allowed to walk up hills, that's when I really got attracted to the sport.
It becomes fun when you don't have to, like, take your heart rate to 130, huh?
Well, 130?
Yeah, that's high for you.
No. But I learned a lot from and how much you just can walk and how efficient walking is, right? If you stop to change some gear or do some other personal business and the person that you're training with is walking, you realize it takes some running to catch up to that person. Walking is pretty effective, efficient.
It is. And, you know, one thing that I don't think, at least in my case, I don't train enough on walking. You know, I think that if you're training for a race, you need to know what is your walking pace. All right. We all know what our running pace is, right?
Scott, I want to redirect the term walking, okay? We like to call it efficient hiking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like you're going out for a Sunday afternoon stroll,
right? Well,
it's walking with a purpose. It's a fast paced walk.
You're not talking about walking on flat ground. You're
talking
about climbing hills efficiently with a non running gait.
Well, let me differentiate here. I think that there can be
you ignored my comment altogether.
No, I didn't. You need to know. I mean. You need to know two types of walking or hiking paces. The first one,
efficient traveling, Scott,
is hiking up a hill. What is your pace hiking up a hill? And the other one is what is your hiking pace on flat? Because in a long race, there may come a time, more than you probably think, where things are going south and you need to walk the flat. And I think it's a good idea to know what your pace is in hiking.
Okay, so here's something about there are times that you need to efficiently move in a non-running format on a trail. Okay,
could that be crawling, Don?
No, it could
efficiently
be.
Crawling.
If that's where you're at, then that's where you're at. but we'll go to the walking. Here's something I have to remind myself when I'm out there and I'm in that spot. you still can walk efficient. I could find myself all of a sudden just kind of meandering. I mean, not looking for different flowers and picking things up, but I'm not really walking with a purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm just walking. And if I'm in that spot where I can't hold that pace and I need to collect myself and get some fluids or goo or something in me, I need to make sure that I'm still moving efficiently in a race-type walk.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot, Don.
Ready?
What is your hiking pace?
On flats or uphills?
Give me both. I told you you need to know both. What is your hiking pace?
You're around 18 minutes per mile. I mean, that's where I think my watch says I'm around that.
Okay.
Around that spot.
Okay, so I think it's important to know that.
Yeah.
And you need to go out and train 16. Yourself to walk and hike efficiently. Yeah. We never talk about that. We never talk about the correct biomechanics to walking.
Oh, we'll ask Dr. Cucuzzell about that. That'll be good.
It's a great. We could spend an hour talking about that.
Well, we could spend an hour talking about anything. I don't think we're equipped to talk about efficient gait in walking because we really never explored that. Jimmy Dean Freeman has said that quite often. He said, hey, people don't practice their hiking enough. And they need to go out there. It's a big part of the race. And they need to be out there efficient. And yes, we always talk about, well, it's different muscles. And, we do use those muscles differently. So you better train those. And if it's part of your racing and your strategy to run that 50 miles, et cetera, then you better train it. Train what you're going to do.
Yep. There was an article many, many years ago in Ultra Running Magazine that talked about running pace and walking pace. And they used the Western States Trail as an example. And they said, okay, if you want to finish Western States in a sub 24, that's the silver buckle. That's the big buckle.
It's the same size buckle,
I know it's
Scott.
The same size, but in my mind, it's bigger. And if you typically on a flat ground you have a 9 minute pace running, and you have a 20 minute pace walking, how much can you walk that course and still finish sub 24?
I don't know. What do you have?
Well, this guy did the math, and you can actually walk 49% of the Western States Trail at a 20 minute pace. And finish sub 24 if you have a 9 minute running pace. Now we know that doesn't a 9 minute pace on a
100
pretty
mile
technical
pretty fast.
Trail like Western States. Did I call Western States technical? It is to me.
There's parts of it.
So anyway, it just goes to show that walking can be done and you can be very successful.
Scott, I was talking to a friend of mine about. What's on his schedule for some races coming up.
You're talking Lee McKinley, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No.
Oh, dang.
No, we could talk about Lee, though. It's because he's getting ready for the world's toughest half here in Auburn, California. And I've always admired Lee.
World's
toughest half?
Half marathon?
No, half triathlon. So not a full Ironman.
Oh, okay.
But so they're out there running in the trails and up and down hills, and they're swimming in the river. And I don't know if there's much water left in our river out here. They may be wading in the river. I don't know. And then they cycle.
It's a mud run.
And so they cycle, and they go find some hills. And I don't know if they make them, decrease their tire pressure to make things even more challenging for their bikes. I mean, I don't know. But it's put together by Brad Kearns, and he is a legendary triathlete.
We need to get Brad on.
Oh, he's
so
funny.
Come on, we've been talking about that for 3 years.
We had him scheduled, and there was a basketball tournament for his son, and just things just got in the way. We need to revisit that.
We do.
He started talking about the go slow, run easy, race hard on Saturdays. I mean, he talked all about that. He trained with Lance at times out there when they were doing the
cycling.
Yeah, and so he brought that point up that if you don't feel their group they trained with, and Lance was in that group they were training, and they said, if you don't feel it that day, if you just feel like you're digging too deep and you need rest, that you are allowed to just turn and go back and get that rest you need. No one was going to give you a hard time.
No mocking.
No mocking, no pressure. It's know your body and train by your body, not necessarily by the guy or gal's body next to you.
The mocking does come if you do it 3 times in a row, right?
Well, I don't even think you get invited on the fourth time. So there's no mocking.
There's no mocking.
You're just not invited.
That's funny. Where were you going with this train of thought?
So I was
racing schedule.
I was talking about. You brought up Lee. You threw me off. But I was talking to my friend about his race schedule. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. And he said that he's getting ready for part of the Big Blue Adventure Series, where you go out and you kayak and you ride a mountain bike and you do some trail running and putting all those together. And he's been involved in that in a long time.
I've never heard of that series.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, the Big Blue. I think that's what it's called. I have to Google that and make sure I'm not misspeaking. But there are race events and organizations that put together those types of activities. Some of them, as I remember looking into this, include some, you know, scaling of some rocks and doing different things and going through some obstacles. Just cool adventure that call into all types of fitness for our bodies. You know, just not just running, but really turning you into an athlete, a traveler across the planet. I like that.
And is this was the first one for this?
Oh, I don't know.
Friend,
are you
air quotes?
No,
I
oh,
did
no.
Quote air quotes when I said friend.
No. He's done this a long time.
The Big Blue Adventure is what it's called. Your home for human powered sports, triathlon, running, biking, swimming, adventure racing, SUP.
Yeah, stand-up paddleboard.
Stand-up paddleboard and travel. Wow. Looks like Solomon's involved in this. It's got to be legit.
Would you like to read us a little more of that, Scott, or should we all...
Join us for a 5K run on an epic single-track trail or 36-hour challenge covering 80 miles in the Sierra. Whatever event you choose, you can be certain of quality experience. Get out for a Big Blue adventure of your own.
I think that's pretty awesome. He's wearing a Cocopelli.
Who is? Oh, your friend?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. What kind of friend would I be? So, you know, some of the themes that we were talking about is, you know, do something else and do something different with your fitness level that you have gained from all the trail running. And it's kind of nice to go out and do something completely different, completely new, outside of your element. And you don't even have to do it well, you know, because when you go...
I don't run well.
When you go...
Nothing I do is I do well.
When you go re-race some of your events, like I'm coming this year, then you compare yourself to the last one and to the people that you know that are around you, that you're friends and that you train with. But when you go do the Big Blue Adventure Series, I mean, you get a PR right from the start and you don't know anybody there. So you just go out there and hang out and just have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Not that we... You know, have to not have fun when we go out to our races. And a lot of people just go out there and just enjoy the experience and don't worry about the clock at all. I get that.
You know, I just had a fun idea. Run the trail. I'm sure other people thought of this because they're pretty smart.
Yeah.
But run your normal training run backwards, or go run the race that you've run a gazillion times. Run it backwards. Do a fat ass run backwards. I mean, not run racing, you know, actually running backwards, but do a reverse loop. You know what I'm talking about.
I did, but that you brought that up. And I have thought, Scott, about running our loop that, you know, loop that we run, but I don't want to do it backwards. I don't know. I just don't. I've resisted that. And I should probably make myself do it. But I like the familiar direction. That's weird about us.
Yeah,
as a people.
It's probably because you you don't have to think about it. It's just kind of automatic. You could turn you wouldn't even. I bet you could go run that loop without your torch.
I know there are a few rocks that I would avoid. I know where they're at. We've been lucky to be able to talk to so many people here on this podcast.
We have.
I mean, hours literally with mentors. Some people we know. And we're familiar with other people we have learned to know and can count them among our community here. And I really think that anybody that listens to this is part of that same community and can feel a member of and can use the information and gain information and carry it and even pass it on to others. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've been real fortunate to be in a position where we get to ask some of the questions.
You know, I think it is, I still am amazed. No one has ever turned us down.
We have never been turned down for an interview.
Oh, yeah, we have.
We have? By whom? Let's throw some names out there. Let's kill some people here. Who?
You know, those really important people that President Obama.
We never asked him.
You don't know.
He's a smoker. We don't.
You're right. It is the spirit of the community to share with one another. And regardless of the person asking the question, which would be TRN in this scenario, that regardless of the size of our audience or how ridiculous our questions and simplistic they are, people answer them with sincerity.
You know, I think they want to share. And you know what? Some things that we do periodically or maybe all the time on Trail Runner Nation is we transfer what we've learned to our outside running lives. I think that we should challenge ourselves to go find an expert in your business, whatever that is, or whether it's an expert in raising children or whatever you want, is go find somebody that is an expert in that and ask them if you can ask them some questions. And I think that most people are willing to be a mentor and to help someone and transfer the knowledge that they have.
It's what humans do. I mean, that's why we have fire today, right? Pass it on.
Okay.
It would be tough if every generation had to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
So I've always admired that in you, Scott, is you go to Audible or pick up books and find different subjects and dig into them because you're multifaceted and look to perfect the things that you do.
But I'm challenging myself as I say this, instead of going to get a book, call the author.
Hmm.
Say, hey, I have a couple of questions. I read your book. I have a couple of questions that I want to follow up on. I'm working on something similar. I want your opinion. And I would bet that most people would agree to talk to you.
And it's easier to get in touch with people. You talked earlier about, you know, people haven't turned us down or, you know, we have access. That's the whole thing with Twitter, social media, Facebook stuff, you know, emails at the end of an article. Oh, my goodness.
People are accessible.
10 years ago, you know, it would have been impossible to get the number of guests that we've had on and access to people.
Yeah. Well, we've been very fortunate. We've been very fortunate to have a lot of good listeners, a lot of good comments, a lot of good suggestions.
Yeah, we get a lot of suggestions. It's hard to, you know, keep up with suggestions, and they all look very, very interesting. So if you've written in or communicated back and forth, and I've probably emailed back that said, that really sounds like a great podcast, and then some stuff happens.
It goes into the big pot of potential guests and
That list that you have
gets stewed down to the bottom of the pot. But we appreciate that.
So we have a lot of good guests coming up. We have a lineup. Speaking of that, we have a lineup of good things happening. And as we sit here guestless today, you would say, well, it sounds like you don't have any guests. Well, that's not the case.
They just didn't want to get up this early. Who are they, Don?
Oh, we have a lot of people.
We have a lot.
President Obama?
Yeah. He's coming on.
All right. Trail Runner Nation.
Were you recording that?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
What the heck?
I mean, we are edit free.
Unfortunately, we are. What do you think about that policy, Scott, the edit free policy? Is it something we should, you know, after 200 plus episodes, the 3-year stuff, should we revisit our edit free?
No one has complained about the edit free. So I'd say no complaint, thumbs up.
Just keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling.
It's authentic. I'll tell you that.
It is.
Trail Runner Nation.
Speaking of authentic,
oh,
go to trailrunnernation.com. You know, it's been revamped. If you haven't been there in the last 2 or 3 months, our web ninja, Tim Smith, who's also a trail ninja, down in the San Antonio area of Texas, he has redone our website. Thank you, Tim. And it is really cool. Go to our partners page. There's usually the people that we think are the best in category. You can click on those, and some of them have some discounts. If you click on them and they don't have a discount, it takes you directly to their site. You can look at some old podcasts. Boy, if you haven't gone back You know, Western States is coming up. I think we just, somebody tweeted. Was that you that tweeted about the upcoming Western States? We had a really good podcast with Craig Thornley and Andy Jones Wilkins pre-Western States like 2 years ago. And go back and listen to that. That's a really, we have some good podcasts back there.
We have some guests on there.
We do. Yeah.
So Trail Runner Nation, go to that website and we talk about being mentors. Mentor somebody. Mentor people around you, whether it's in running or something. Pass something on today.
Go volunteer in an aid station.
Go share something with somebody that you've learned, and I think it'll make a difference for them.
Makes you better.
It does. It always makes you feel good. Trail Runner Nation, now get out there and do something different.
Moss.